Oh, baby, hallelujah.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning, everybody. I'm Brian Cerny, your host, along with King Kava here in the studios at 97.9 ESPN Radio. Hope you are having a great morning so far. It is early. Grab something nice to drink, coffee, tea, whatever you're into there, and sit with us for a few minutes as we talk with a very, very interesting man. Mark Wolheiser has joined us this morning, a freelance photographer, 35 years. He's been a professional photographer in and around the Tallahassee area, and we're going to find out all about that and all the different things that he has done, seeing the world through his lens, and we're glad to have him with us. And we've got Tim Linnefelt joining us during the broadcast with the Tim Linnefelt Sports Report. Looking forward to hearing from Tim about what's going on in the world of professional and college athletics. We're glad you're here. And we're glad to have the opportunity to share with you Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Don't forget that our website is TallahasseeTalks.com. Simple enough. If you've missed one of our broadcasts and you'd like to go back and check that out or hear it again, you can do so there at the website, TallahasseeTalks.com. Be sure to send us your emails if you care to. That would be topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. That's a good, great way for you to recommend a topic that you'd like to see us cover or a guest that you'd like to have here on the show with us. And you can always find out more about the folks who make this show what it is there at the website. So we are looking forward to having Mark with us for this next half hour and looking forward to having you sitting in with us as well, and hope that springtime Tallahassee is a great day for you. It's already, at this point, kicked off this morning with the 5K run, and then, of course, the Jubilee in the Park. The Grand Parade is at 10:30. We will be there. The Tallahassee Food Challenge is a project that we're a part of, and so you'll be seeing us in the parade later this morning. And come by and see us there in the park. We have a booth, the Tallahassee Food Challenge booth will be there for you to learn more about how you can help us help hungry families across our community. And we encourage you to take the challenge. Mark Wolheiser is with us. Mark, thanks for joining us this morning.
Appreciate it, Brian.
Mark is used to dealing in the visual, and so that way we realize that oftentimes he's sort of shy. You know, he's sort of retiring about talking all the time. You're not a talker, are you?
Not a big one. Certainly most of my career has been hiding in the shadow, not being a part of the conversation, but watching and photographing.
And that's why you're here, because, you know, I think all of us recognize that the world of photographs and all that we're presented with on a daily basis moves us emotionally, moves us intellectually. And for someone like yourself, who for all of these many years has been in the business of bringing those images to us, it's a powerful medium. It's a powerful way for you to communicate your view of the world and as you see it through your lens. How did you get started? Where did this all begin for you?
I got started as a horse photographer. I started out as a reporter and did not do very well at that. So I started taking pictures, and it grabbed me.
Now, let me ask you this. When you're doing horse photography, how long does it take you to get the horse to pose correctly? I mean, do you have to, like, to get him to smile or what?
It doesn't take long. The thing that when I knew that I needed to focus elsewhere or a different view of it were all the people behind the photographer trying to get the horse's attention. I kept wanting to turn around and take their picture, but that's not what paid.
So, okay, I'm completely at a loss here. A horse photographer, okay. Now, this is not to be confused with the horse whisperer, right?
Not at all.
So, but as a horse photographer, you're working for horse owners?
That's correct.
Who want to have photographs of their horse for personal reasons or for They're showing these horses?
These were show horses. These were high-dollar show horses in the Tennessee Walking Horse
round. And I won't go too far on this, but I'm fascinated with, you know, just how you get a horse to cooperate. But, I mean, just, yeah, okay. Well, it's we'll move on. Carl's looking at me like, where are you going with this? I don't know. It just sounds funny to me. Okay, a horse photographer. I'm sorry. So that didn't occupy your time forever. What happened after the horse stuff?
The one of the horse owners was a publisher at the newspaper in Montgomery.
Okay.
And when I was looking to change, he hired me in Montgomery to be a staff photographer.
Okay.
And so I packed up my car and moved to Montgomery, Alabama.
And that's where you're from originally?
I'm from Shelbyville, Tennessee.
Okay. So, but you end up getting your first gig working for a newspaper in Montgomery.
In Montgomery.
Okay. And you were there for how long?
3 years.
Okay. And went from taking pictures of horses to people, mostly.
Right.
Yeah. And in that 3 years, what'd you learn?
I learned what I thought to be every mistake in the book.
you learned what not to do.
I learned what not to do in Montgomery.
Sounds
familiar.
And
hopefully came to Tallahassee and learned what to do.
Okay. And that arrival in Tallahassee, was that planned or was that an opportunity that arose?
It was an opportunity. Okay. They had an opening here. And
okay, with the Tallahassee Democrat.
That's correct.
Okay. And that was about 20-some years ago.
It was 31 years ago. I worked at the Democrat for 27 of them.
I've wow.
Been on my own since then.
Wow. So 31 years ago, you went to work for the Tallahassee Democrat.
Correct.
Were there for 27 years. And so for the last four, you've been freelancing.
Correct.
Mark Wollheiser Incorporated.
MarkWollheiser.com.
And with that, I should say then, if we want to see some of your work, that'd be a great place to go, huh?
That would be where you would go.
MarkWollheiser.com. Now, we're going to have to spell Wollheiser, right?
It's Mark with a K and then Wallheiser.
That's not too bad. I think I can do that. Wallheiser.
.com. Correct.
Okay. Write that down, Carl. So if I want to find out how the world looks from your point of view, I go to markwallheiser.com, and all of the work you've done for 37 years is there, or
all of the work, certainly the newer stuff. Now, I started in Tallahassee in 81, and so much of that is online.
Yeah.
I think now I have right at 9,000 pictures up, and really have only made it back to 2006 or 5 as far as putting stuff online.
Okay, so there's quite a bit. And folks, you may be asking yourself, what are you guys doing having a photographer on a radio show? Well, the reason we're having Mark here is because I want to know more about Mark. You can go see the photographs that he's done over the last number of years. A fantastic collection of work, by the way. And in that regard, I want to get into talking with you about some of the subject matter that you've chosen that I think really is what speaks to your unique contribution. And it certainly fits well with our interests because this show is all about Tallahassee and what Tallahassee's talking about. And you've spent a lot of time photographing a lot of people here in Tallahassee, including some very well-known folks, governors and folks like that. Tell us about some of your experiences in photographing some of the more high-profile folks.
When I came in, I think Graham was in office, and certainly it was a different time then. You were welcome to go by the mansion. You know, he might
pre-9/11.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Old South.
Yeah.
Tallahassee.
Yeah. What's Old South Tallahassee?
Big family names. 4 miles in any direction from the Capitol. You were in the county.
Yeah.
Much sleepier.
Yeah.
Place.
Yeah. And how is it different now?
Lack of access.
Yeah.
It's post 9/11. Very difficult to get in the governor's mansion or the mayor's office or, you know, behind the police lines, if you will.
Yeah.
Much more so.
And in that way, does that make your job harder, or is it just more interesting, or just you have to plan further out, or what?
It depends on what you view your job as. Certainly nowadays, you don't get the access. You aren't as available to photograph the stuff that most people don't see. If you're stuck out on a police line, you're photographing stuff that anybody standing out there can see. But that's certainly not what I wanted to show, because they can see it themselves.
Yeah.
Anybody can see the governor in the parade.
Among those governors that you photographed, who would you say was probably the most engaging or the most accessible?
I'd have to say by far Graham and Childs.
Yeah. The old, what'd they call him? The old?
Hikun.
For those of you who are not familiar with North Florida parlance, the Hikun is – tell us what the Hikun is.
Hikun was Governor Childs, and a Hikun is just the biggest, baddest raccoon in the group, I guess.
The boss hog.
The boss hog.
And old Governor Childs, the Hikun. Any particular memories of him that you're fond of?
Not particularly.
Yeah. I mean, do you recall his involvement with his colleagues, particularly unique? Was he different around folks that he worked with, as opposed to, let's say, common folks who he might meet on the street? Or
my remembrances of him were more the common folks that he met on the street.
Yeah.
As was Graham. Very personable. He it didn't matter what your status was, you were welcome.
Yeah. And that is definitely that Old South mentality, isn't it?
Absolutely.
The Southern hospitality that perhaps you think we're missing a little bit now?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Why? What's happened?
It has become much more of a spin thing these days, I think, and you're might be, as a media member, you might be invited in during the spin cycle.
Okay,
but you're certainly not invited in.
You made a comment earlier that when you first started doing photographs, you learned quickly that you throw away the first three rolls of film.
Right.
Why?
Well, that was the face. I mean, that was the face that they were putting out there for you, which was not the face I wanted.
So as a photographer faced with this kind of environment where people, as you say, are in the spin, you know that, and you're not getting behind that mask.
That's
you're not
correct.
Getting behind what they want you to see.
And oftentimes I wanted – I mean, I did not want the spin that they were trying to, or the agenda they were trying to push. I wanted the person.
Yeah.
And
you're thinking that's just gotten harder and harder. Over
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I would much rather have brought out to Tallahassee pictures of Childs washing his car rather than at the Capitol, because he washed his car.
Yeah.
And we all do.
Yeah.
Every now and then.
Well, some of us do. That's right. Well, and I've heard, too, about Governor Scott. Have you had opportunity to photograph him at all?
Not other than the parade.
Yeah.
I think I had the cover on Tallahassee Magazine after his parade.
Yeah. The inaugural parade.
Right. And that's the only time I'm...
My understanding is that he works out at a local gym every morning and is pretty accessible otherwise. I mean, I think that there's the appropriate... security measures and such, and people around him. But I have seen too that he has distanced himself. He has kind of a velvet rope mentality. That you stay on this side and I'll stay over here. And if I invite you in, that's when we'll talk. Is that kind of your experience? Or
yes, but that's the spin when you're invited in.
Yeah.
You may not be able to do it as easily, but. Picture that I would be looking for would be behind the velvet rope.
Yeah.
And that's what I would work hard to get access to.
Well, let's talk about that, too, from the standpoint that you've been a resident here in the community for a long time. And obviously you've taken a lot of photographs beyond those in the political arena. Is that always the case whenever you arrive on a scene? And I'm curious, too, about your experiences as a photographer for the newspaper and how that compares to where you are now as a freelancer. But, you know, you get an idea in your head and say, this is where I want to go. In the old days, you got an assignment. You know, from somebody from an editor's desk said, hey, we need you to go take pictures of this. So then when you arrive on the scene, you've already realized what you've got to get done. And to describe that process. How do you get through that?
I would many times or most of the time get an assignment from an editor. We're doing a story on so-and-so.
Yeah.
And the story we're anticipating is running along this line. We need pictures. I did not get directions on how to shoot the pictures. And in back in the day, if you will, we were free to get there when we arrived on the scene to size up the story. And as journalists, we could see if that was accurate or not. And if that wasn't, then the story changed. Nowadays, I'm not sure if they have that ability as much. But certainly many times we would come back and say, that wasn't the story at all.
That wasn't it. And so something got filtered there that you weren't able to break through or it just turned out to be different than what you expected.
It just turned out to be different.
Yeah. And notably, one of those projects involved crack cocaine. Tell us about that.
Shortly after crack cocaine found its way into Tallahassee, I don't think many of the public knew at all.
How long ago was this?
That was 88, okay. I think, when I did the project. And so I went out and spent 8 months virtually living with crack addicts.
You lived with crack addicts for 8 months?
I did not spend the night, but the rest of the day I was there in evenings.
And how long did that take for them to be willing to let you do that?
It took 4 of the 8 months. Obviously, they thought I was the law. And I had to spend a lot of time with them for them to understand that I wasn't.
Yeah.
And to open up. But it opened up into a world that was very much unlike what 99.9% of Tallahassee had a clue about.
Yeah.
And then part of that time I went to Jefferson County to be with the crack addicts because I knew I was going to come back to Tallahassee and patrol with the law enforcement and your bus and whatnot. I certainly didn't want those two to cross over.
Yeah. And in that time, then you ended up seeing some of the same people that you had known.
No. And that's what I tried to do was to keep them separate because I didn't want to get in with the crack addicts and then be with
show
the folks busted them.
On the bus.
So, right,
yeah.
Right.
Why? The trust factor
certainly ethics would not allow me to do that. And then it would be hazardous to your health.
I suppose that might have something to do with your longevity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're talking with Mark Wolheiser, folks, here at 97.9 ESPN Radio. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on a Saturday morning we call Springtime Tallahassee. And Mark has, over the years, this many 37 years of his career, done us a big favor. He's gone out there where we couldn't go and gotten the photos that we would not have had otherwise. And you can see those if you'd like, see his work, much of his work, at markwolheiser.com. Mark, you spent then those 27 years with the newspaper. Would you say that the story with crack addicts was probably the most challenging or the most engaging? Or what other – I mean, you did some work with homeless folks. Or didn't you join a homeless camp for a while or something of that sort?
I've certainly done a lot of photography with the homeless over the years, and much of it would be in the homeless camps.
Are there more than one camp?
Oh, Lord Jesus.
How many homeless camps are there in Tallahassee, to your knowledge?
I couldn't answer that. The Homeless Coalition just did a head count, if you will. And I read the results in the Democrat, but
So in other words, it's not that there are one or two camps. There are camps of homeless people across the area.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And how did you discover this? I mean, how did you engage these folks?
Homework.
Yeah.
And then just you know, we all see the homeless out and about town. Most of us put our blinders on and try to get on past because we don't want to see it. But I would go and just sit and talk with them. And
so you did just the opposite of what we are naturally inclined to do.
Absolutely.
You looked them in the eye and looked at them through your eye and then brought back to us what you saw.
And would ask them questions that nobody else did. How are you feeling? How did you get here? What
were some of the answers?
Oh, it runs the gauntlet. I mean, some of them didn't care. Many had mental issues or drug and alcohol abuse issues.
And then that way made them unemployable. And at that point then puts their ability to support themselves in jeopardy.
It made them different than the mainstream.
Yeah. What do you think is the biggest misconception we have about homeless people?
Probably the biggest is that they really don't exist, but they do, and that they're less than humans in some regards to be avoided.
Do you think your photographs help us in that way to humanize them?
I hope so.
Yeah. Folks, we encourage you to make that determination for yourself. Visit his website, markwolheiser.com, and you'll be thoroughly impressed with the quality and the depth of his work. Mark Wolheiser is our guest here this morning on Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here at 97.9 ESPN Radio. I am your host, Brian Cerny, and looking forward to you staying with us. Time now for the Tim Blennefelt Sports Report. Tim, what have you got for us?
Greetings, everybody. This is Tim Blennefelt with the Osceola newspaper here in Tallahassee. It's a busy time for Florida State sports. You got the men's basketball team and women's basketball teams that recently wrapped up their seasons. Jimbo Fisher's football team is out on the practice fields in preparation for the spring game on April 16th. And Mike Martin's baseball team is playing well and competing at the highest level in the top 5, top 10, depending on which poll you prescribe to. I want to talk a little bit about the basketball team, which had a remarkable run come to end recently in the Sweet 16 out in San Antonio, Texas. I was there watching the Seminoles play VCU, and it's interesting to think that while that loss was certainly disheartening and probably a game that Florida State could have won, when you look back to where this team was back in January, you really have to be impressed with how they all came together and made this run, getting to the Sweet 16 for the first time in 18 years. Yet I think this basketball team hasn't been where they were recently up until Charlie Ward was still playing basketball at Florida State. And so taking the season as a body of work, I don't know if you could call it anything other than a complete success, especially in terms of the postseason. You know, a big question that I've been asked is, you know, Tim, at the end of the game, why did Florida State not call a timeout, both at the end of regulation and at the end of overtime? Florida State had timeouts to spare and chose not to take them. And, you know, the answer that I would give to that is, you know, you look at it, if you call a timeout, you still got to get the ball in bounds. And to be frank with you, the way Florida State has handled the ball, I think is no secret that turnovers have been a bit of a problem for them. You know, there's no guarantee they even get the ball in and get a shot off anyway. And then in regards to the end at overtime, there was a question we asked Coach Leonard Hamilton, you know, at overtime, why did you not call a timeout there? And he said, well, you know, the way we see it, you've got, you know, one of your best players in Derwin Kitchen, who already had led you in scoring for that night. He's got an open look 5 feet away from the basket, and he couldn't get a shot off or chose not to shoot and end up passing to Chris Singleton. And Leonard's point was, you know, what play are we going to get that's better than what we have there? We have our point guard, our senior guard, with an open shot 5 feet away from the basket, and it didn't work out the way that that we wanted it to. But you know, what exactly in a timeout were we going to do that would give us a better opportunity than that? And obviously, it didn't work out. But you've got the team that Florida State lost to, VCU, that beat Kansas, number one seed Kansas in the Elite Eight, and is now in the Final Four. So perhaps that makes Seminole fans feel a little bit better. On the football side, the Seminoles are hard at work out there. Their regular practice fields are under renovation. So if you're driving out by campus and are cruising past the old intramural fields off of Woodward and St. Augustine and Pensacola streets, you can probably catch them out there practicing. It sounds like some good things are going on out there for them. Of course, E.J. Manuel is the new quarterback. Christian Ponder is departed, and I'm sure anxiously awaiting the upcoming NFL draft. And a lot of interesting things coming out from over there. A lot of last year's freshmen, it sounds like, have made some really big gains. Talked to Bjorn Werner, the German-born defensive end, recently, and he had a lot of interesting things to tell us. He was saying how he never had even really seen an American football before he was 12 years old, started playing flag football, and knew that it would be the game for him. He recounted his recruiting process and was talking about how all these schools were coming after him, and probably unlike almost every other football recruit in the country, he really hadn't heard or didn't know anything about most of these schools. So it was kind of funny for him seeing all these big name college football programs and not being able to put them into a context of his entire life. But he mentioned that most of the schools that recruited him wanted him to play defensive tackle because he was a big boy, weighed 270 pounds, and he wasn't too keen on that. And Florida State called him up and said, "Well, we're going to let you play defensive end if you come here." And he said, "Well, okay then." Florida State is still working out some early enrollee guys, some guys that are freshmen here that, you know, by all accounts should be at their senior proms in the next couple of weeks, but instead they're out here at football practice, and you'll be able to catch those guys and get a sneak peek of what's to come at the spring game out at Doak Campbell Stadium on April 16th. On the baseball front, the Seminoles are still playing well. They recently played the Florida Gators in Jacksonville last Tuesday night and beat them 5-2 to take a 2-1 advantage in the four-game series. The Seminoles won both neutral site games in Tampa and Jacksonville and lost recently in Gainesville. The fourth and final game of that series will be played here in Tallahassee at Dick Houser Stadium, where the Seminoles will attempt to beat the Gators in the season series. Yet again, they did so last year, and we'll be looking to do that one more time. Next up for the baseball Seminoles, they'll travel up to Maryland for a three-game series with the Terrapins. You recall that many years ago, Marshall McDougal was the guy that hit a record 6 home runs out of Maryland's baseball stadium. I don't know if that's a feat that will be accomplished ever again, but certainly something that always comes to mind whenever Florida State plays up at Maryland. And that'll be just about all from me. I'm Tim Linnefelt with The Osceola, and you can check us out at theosceola.com. That is our brand new website, theosceola.com. Check it out for the latest news, stories, analysts, message board interaction, everywhere you want to be for a Florida State fan. Again, that's theosceola.com. It's a brand new website. It's got everything a Florida State fan could want. Until next time, I'm Tim Linnefelt with The Osceola. Thanks for listening.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I'm Brian Cerny, your host here at 97.9 ESPN Radio on a Saturday morning when springtime Tallahassee is getting ready to bust loose as we go through the day. So be sure that you visit all of the great things. We will be in the parade, Tallahassee Food Challenge, that we're a big part of. We'll be there with the 97.9 Monster Mobile and all of our sponsors who will encourage you and I to give generously during this time of year. We call it the Tallahassee Food Challenge because we expect that if we take that challenge, we can help meet the needs of hungry families across our community. A simple donation at any one of our participating sponsors can make the difference. And you can learn more about that if you go to the TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com website, TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. We're talking with Mark Wolheiser, who is our guest. Mark is a massive photographer, a guy who not only has depth of vision, but has a depth of soul. And this is a guy who has really gotten inside the lives of those that he's photographed over the years, whether high-profile political people occupying political office, or someone who may be homeless or a crack addict. And so it seems to me, Mark, that you have gone from one side of the the spectrum to the other. And in the mix of it all, what would you say is the one common denominator for all of your subjects?
There's been such a varied subject matter. I don't know that there is one.
Well, let me ask it this way. When you take a photograph of a person and you've said that you wait, you keep working until you get past the face that they want to put on, do you see that unveiling happen in such a way that there's a kind of common thread for all of us, that whether we're homeless or the governor of the state of Florida, you know, we have a common base, a common need, or a common awareness? Is it that we are, at the first, unwilling to share who we really are? Maybe that's the common point.
Everybody has a perception of themselves, and many times that's not accurate.
What are you trying to say, Mark?
Trying to say that
you're telling me that I don't really look like the person I think I look like. Is that what you mean?
You have a face made for radio.
Well, thank you. That's what my dad always told me. Well, you know, that's interesting, because how many of us will say, when they see a picture of themselves, when I see a picture of myself, I think, do I really look like that? Is that really me? Because there is that disparity between what I believe and what I have in my head, I guess, versus what's right out there on, you know, the camera doesn't lie, they say. Is that true?
It is true.
Yeah. Well, how come I always look fatter in a photograph than I really am? I don't understand that.
I'm not at liberty to comment on that.
Oh, man, this guy, you ought to run for office. You know what I mean? We've talked about your work across subjects like photographing crack addicts and homeless camps, homeless people. What got you – I'm still curious about the homeless situation, and that's probably an insensitive way of putting it. It's a horrible way to say it. The need of homeless people in our community that I think you've said here for a lot of us is invisible. We don't see them because we do look the other way. You chose to look in and get closer and then bring those photographs to us to say this is really the reality as you see it.
I think particularly in today's environment, there is a renewed interest in that subset of folks, in that we all realize we're just not that many paychecks away.
Mm-hmm.
That type of life is closer than we would like to think. Mm-hmm. And if you don't feel that way, then I think you're not really paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's
the unpredictability of life.
That's correct.
And with those folks that you lived with in these situations, did that happen originally because the newspaper gave you that assignment and said, go find out what you can? Or how did
I'm sure that my first encounters with that were by assignment.
Mm-hmm.
But much of my career at the Democrat was photographing what I call the underbelly of mm-hmm. Tallahassee,
mm-hmm.
Drug addiction, police arrests and busts and murder suspects. And
did you ever take photographs you wish you didn't have to?
Oh, absolutely.
All the time?
Oh, absolutely.
Photographs that you were unable to publish?
Photographs that I was, oh, absolutely on that. And photographs that I was unable to forget.
Yeah. And in doing that, it moved you toward getting even more aware rather than pushing you away.
Yeah.
So in that regard, if we look into your photo gallery and we see the many images that you've journaled for us, we're really seeing part of Mark, aren't we? We're seeing the way in which those things moved you.
Most certainly.
Yeah.
And my most certainly. That's correct.
Yeah. Do you have contact with any of the folks, the crack addicts, the homeless folks? Do they maintain, any of them maintain a relationship with you at all? Have any more contact? Because you've done some of this work on your own as a freelancer. You've gone back and photographed some of these folks at the same time.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Probably in the last 6 months, I did worked on a project with Echo, photographing the homeless and their clients, whether they're homeless or underfunded. And so it continues. Even though that certainly is not my focus these days, because I mean that doesn't pay. It doesn't pay my.
Where do you spend most of your time if you're looking to make a living doing this? Where are those jobs?
In the business, business portraiture, and I take that same photojournalistic approach to the business community, which is kind of an honest look, whether folks realize it or not, when they're looking at photos, when it has that photojournalism edge, it's a little more believable.
Yeah.
So that's.
We're talking with Mark Wolheiser here at 97.9 ESPN Radio, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I'm your host, Brian Cerny, with King Cabba here in the studio. Mark is an amazing individual, a guy who has spent 35 years of his life bringing us the images that make Tallahassee what it is and make us aware of some of the things that otherwise we would not see, whether they are folks who are crack addicted or if they're homeless, even those folks who we may see in the public eye, but he sees them in a bit of a different way. So we're learning a lot. And I want to tell you, folks, be sure to stay with us if you're just tuning in now, because we've got some more to talk about with Mark. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Mark Wolheiser is our guest here at 97.9 ESPN Radio on a Saturday morning. We are glad you're with us. We've been learning a lot about Mark and his work as a professional photographer over the years. And, Mark, I'm sitting here looking at your laptop with this photograph that our listeners obviously can't see, but you will be able to see at Mark's website. And if you are just tuning in, that website is markwolheiser.com, just like it sounds, Mark with a K, and then WALLHEISER.com. So that's Wolheiser, markwolheiser.com. You can also go to TallahasseeTalks.com, our website, and we're going to link Mark's appearance, the show, and everything to his website, so you'll have plenty of opportunity to see what I'm seeing. Tell us about this photograph real quick.
You were talking about my view being a little different, and I would work to get a little different. This is an eviction, and I'm photographing this from the street, folks digging through their possessions that are being carried out by court order. And that's not really, I mean, certainly it's a photograph that I would take, but then much of my work would be to get a little deeper and actually get inside.
And here we have a photograph of a woman who is obviously not doing well. She looks pretty upset.
She's on the phone trying to find help, trying to save her home. Mm. Now, it's brought closer in today's environment, but this was in 89. So,
wow.
And when you get in it and that close to the emotion, it really, I think, strikes home. It makes folks pay attention. They can't help but do that.
We have learned so much from you, Mark. I suspect that we're going to ask you to come back on another occasion. And folks, we've really just flat run out of time here today, and it's unfortunate because we've heard so many things where I want to ask more questions. And so if you'll be gracious enough to consider coming back in the future, we'd love to have you back again and learn more. And by that time, folks, you will have had a chance to visit Mark's website, markwolheiser.com. Now, we are going to have to edit portions of what we've talked about today for the sake of our broadcast half hour. In addition, you can hear the entire interview unedited at our website. So be sure to visit TallahasseeTalks.com coming up later this coming week, and you'll be able to hear the entire interview with Mark. And Mark, I just, again, I want to thank you for being so gracious and giving so much of your time to us today.
Certainly. I appreciate y'all having me.
It's a fantastic opportunity to learn what Tallahassee is really all about from the eyes of Mark Wolheiser. Carl is giving me signals. What's that signal? He wants me to remind you folks that we are going to be in the Tallahassee Springtime Tallahassee Parade later this morning. So be sure to be looking for us. We'll be there. The Tallahassee Food Challenge is our project, and the mighty 97.9 Monster Mobile will be there along with all of our sponsors. And so we'll be looking for you later today. Folks, thanks for tuning in. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is here every Saturday morning at 7:30. So come talk with me about what Tallahassee is talking about.